The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and happy Monday to you. This is Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're taking questions from listeners just like you. We got a good question in for today's episode. Why was believe and repent especially important for Jews on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2? Well, that's what Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to talk about on this episode of Grace in Focus. Here we go.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus, however you listen to us on whatever platform you do. We do appreciate you guys tuning in regularly. If you can, do me a favor.
Okay, what do you want everybody to do?
Review us, review us, review us.
Wouldn't that be nice?
If you read our books, review our books on Amazon. If you listen to this podcast, review the podcast on whatever app or platform
and,
you use.
And on YouTube, subscribe to our channel.
Subscribe to YouTube. Now, we don't make any money off of YouTube. That's not true. I think we made like $5 last month. So YouTube is not a money maker for us. That's not why we want you to subscribe. We want you to subscribe because then I think it pushes us higher in the ranking so that people, when they're looking for Bible answers to questions, instead of a lordship person or a cult or something like that popping up, maybe we will pop up, you know, a little bit higher in the rankings.
Right.
And so that would be enormously helpful to us. So in the last episode, we were going over a question from Ben about baptism.
Yeah, and you had a question at the end that you didn't bring out, and I thought, I want to hear the question.
Okay.
And I'm sure everybody's sitting there going, you know, it's a cliffhanger.
Yeah, so Ben's question was, does Jesus' baptism, does that somehow apply to us? You know, does that get imputed to us in a salvific way because it's part of Christ's righteousness? And we talked about baptism, and you had said that in Acts 2:38, I believe,
right,
in order to become part of the body of Christ, it wasn't enough for these Jews to believe.
Right.
They needed to repent to receive the Spirit.
And they had to be baptized.
They needed to repent
and
to get
baptized.
Water baptized. Right. And then they would receive the Spirit.
And the forgiveness of sin.
And become part of the body of Christ.
Right.
And so I just wanted clarity about that. How could someone after Pentecost believe in Jesus for eternal life and yet not be part of his body? I mean, if they hadn't gotten wet, then they would have been what? Part of some other group? Some other saved group?
Well, yeah, it's a good couple of questions. Let me say, first of all, a lot of people use the term Christian, I think, too loosely. For example, they will say, if they're talking about the Apostle Peter during Jesus' ministry, they might call him a Christian. Well, he wasn't a Christian.
He wouldn't have known what that was.
Well, not only wouldn't he have known, he wasn't, because the term Christian didn't come about until Acts 11:26.
Yeah, anachronistic.
And the term Christian most likely refers to people during the church age who are part of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
So that David wasn't a Christian, Adam wasn't a Christian, Abraham wasn't a Christian.
Right.
And during the tribulation, a lot of people talk about, you know, people who come to faith during the tribulation as being Christians. No,
not quite.
They're going to be believers.
Yeah.
They won't be part of the body of Christ.
They'll either be part of Israel if they're Jewish.
Or the nations. So, in answer to your question, that's the same thing that would have been true in the first century. Not of a Gentile, because Acts chapter 10 lays out what happened with the Gentiles, with Cornelius. He and his household received the Spirit and were baptized into the body of Christ and received the forgiveness of sins, all at the moment of faith, Acts 10:43-48. However, we know that wasn't true of the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8 when Philip the evangelist goes there, leads them to faith in Christ, and yet they don't receive the Spirit and they aren't part of the body of Christ until Peter and John come down and lay hands on them.
You know, Pentecostal theologians say, listen, it's clear in Scripture that the point of faith is one thing and receiving the Spirit is a second experience that happens later. And sometimes it can happen very close and sometimes it can happen very, very far apart.
And that's absolutely wrong now, but it was true for a short time in the early church and only for Jewish and Samaritan people.
Right.
And it was only for those Jews who were somehow guilty or cooperating with the death of Christ.
But then the Samaritans didn't have anything to do with that. Cornelius didn't have anything to do with that.
We don't know, but I think the reason why the Samaritans don't receive the Spirit at the moment of faith is because the Jewish people had the crazy notion, which I suppose really wasn't so crazy for them, that the church was going to be made up exclusively of Jewish believers. And that if a Gentile or a Samaritan came to faith, well, okay, they'd be born again, but they wouldn't be part of the church. So God set it up to where when Philip leads them to faith in Christ, and he even baptizes them, yet they haven't received the Spirit. And the same was true in the case in Acts 2:38 of Jews who had been guilty of crucifying the Messiah. When they came to faith, they were born again, Acts 2:36, Acts 2:37, but they had not yet received the Spirit. So how could this be? Well, in the same way that that was true before Christ died, Judas didn't come to faith, but the others did. They were all born again, but yet they didn't receive the Spirit until Pentecost. And that's going to be true during the tribulation. And it'll be true during the millennium. There are going to be Jews and Gentiles who come to faith during the millennium who are in natural bodies. They'll be born again, but they won't be part of the body of Christ. So the body of Christ is an exclusive group. And there was a short time in church history from 33 A.D. until the time when Cornelius and his household come to faith. During that short period of time, there were people who were born again, but not part of the church.
So why? Luke doesn't say in Acts that, hey, Cornelius is now the example for everyone after this.
Right.
He never says that. So where do you get that idea that now this is what's true for everybody and not just for Cornelius, especially since the Ephesians have a different experience a few chapters later?
Well, what is the verse, by one Spirit we've all been baptized? I guess Galatians 3:28 says something like that.
It's 1 Corinthians 12:13. This is the text that Charles Ryrie uses in his book, The Holy Spirit, to show that you get the Holy Spirit the moment you believe, even though that's not at all what Paul says here.
Well, he says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit."
Yeah. There's nothing there that says that you get the Spirit like at the moment of faith now, and that's the universal experience. Although that's what Ryrie says for some reason.
Well, I think it certainly implies that, because he's not suggesting that there was some sort of gap. What if there was a gap and you had to be baptized in order for this to occur? Then if there were some people in the church at Corinth, well, then they wouldn't be part of the we all. Also, there's Galatians 3:28, which says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you all one in Jesus Christ."
Yeah.
And in the previous verse, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ."
Yeah.
Well, baptized into Christ, you know,
yeah, is that
some
water
people
baptism?
Are going to take that as water baptism.
Is that Acts 2:38
But
what?
If you tie this in with 1 Corinthians 12:13, this is spirit baptism. Because the language in Galatians 3:28 is almost identical to what you just read in 1 Corinthians 12:13.
And there's a parallel Ephesians passage too, isn't there? One faith, one Lord, one baptism.
What is that? Ephesians 4:5, I think?
Yeah.
Is it 5? Yeah, one Lord, five. One faith, one baptism. One God and Father who is above all and through all and in all. In fact, in verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit.
Uh-huh.
Verse 6, one God and Father. Some people think verse 5 is talking exclusively about Jesus. So our one Lord is not God the Father, it's Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
One faith is faith in Christ,
and
one baptism would be baptism in Christ, which would then be water baptism.
Well, see, that's...
The only Christian baptism, not counting spirit baptism, which we don't do, this could be spirit baptism because it's spirit baptism into Christ, into the body of Christ.
Right.
But having said that, I think it could equally be water baptism. In fact, I think it's more likely it's water baptism, although water baptism, of course, is Trinitarian in most passages. baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Matthew 28:19.
Yeah.
You could probably prove just about anything you wanted from the Bible if people are gullible. Right? If they're not searching the whole scripture. Let me give you a quick example. I heard a former Muslim speak about Islam, and he said that Islam and Mormonism are cut of the same cloth.
Okay.
And I was thinking, really? I had never heard that before. But I found out since that's widely discussed in the literature. Because what happened was Muhammad took the Old Testament scriptures and developed a religion based on that.
He
changed Abraham offering up Isaac to Abraham offering up Ishmael.
Yeah.
And he came up with a whole religion.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Joseph Smith did something similar. He took the Old and New Testament and came up with a whole new religion, with a whole new scheme, and with Israel somehow coming to America, and now we're the new Israel or something, I don't know. And he's got this angel Moroni appearing, and he's got all kinds of fanciful things he came up with, but it was all based on the Old and New Testament.
Right.
And the same thing with Muhammad. He took the Old Testament and used it. He even had Jesus, right? He was one of the prophets.
Yeah, yeah. If you're gullible, you can make up a lot of different religions.
Right.
But I think also if you're just clever. I mean, every single denomination has built up a theology based on Scripture.
Right.
Right. And we're not all right.
No.
Most people are probably wrong. And it's not always about gullibility, but it often is.
Well, it seems to me if we are open, if we ask, seek, and knock, then God is going to reveal truth to us. Now, that doesn't make any of us infallible interpreters of the Bible. I'm certainly not. But what I would suggest is that the person who is diligently seeking God is going to grasp more and more of God's Word, and the person who's not is going to be slipping backwards.
Well, thank you, Bob, for lots of thought-provoking conversation there. If you guys have heard anything that you want to know more about, go to our website, faithalone.org, and be sure to send us a link or an email at radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow we're going to continue the theme of repentance as we talk about that same subject, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.